Thank you for listening to this message from Journey Life Center. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at journeylifecenter.org.
Bossy one, that's the one in charge, right? That's her? She's not bossy? That's on me. Okay. Then I turn my back to him, right? That's y'all keep an eye out. All right, y'all can go down if you want to, amen, after I've insulted you. Lord, it's going to be one of those mornings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer because we need it. No. Let's have a word of prayer because I need it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the day you've given us, for the power we can operate in. Your grace is sufficient, and we love you and thank you for all that you've done. You're an awesome God. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. And the church says. So the title of this message is Stop in the Name of the Lord. We're gonna talk a little bit about the Sabbath. For us, that's today, right? The Sabbath day of the Lord. And we need to talk about it. Because it seems like, I've been at this a long time. I can remember a time when on Sunday morning, 80% of the congregation would be in church, right? Sometimes 90% on Easter. But now you might get 50%, and churches are experiencing that. And the reason for it, I think, is because we have to compete with everything. And we have to compete with so many things. It's unfortunate, and some of it you have no control over. I get it. But if you feel like you have to work three jobs and work on Sunday, you might want to reevaluate where you're at with this. How many know we're living in the last days, and His coming is imminent. 2 Timothy describes it in chapter 3. He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. There it is. I could stop right there. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, come on, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, a lot of uns, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Wow, brutal. Come on, Timothy, you're getting there, or Paul, actually. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong. Boy, Paul, come on, lighten up. Haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yeah. Having a form of godliness. Listen, he's not talking to sinners here. He's talking to church people. Having a form of godliness, a form of. What does that tell you? Fake Christians. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Not walking in the power of that. From such people, turn away. Wow. Peter picks it up, 2 Peter chapter 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. By the way, that's exactly what evolutionists say. It's always been like this. No, it hasn't. How many know there was a whole different world before the flood? Oh, I would love to preach an hour right here. Just put that in parentheses for an hour. The world before the flood was very, very different. And by the way, can I just say this? They're starting to find that. And you know where it is? Along the coastlines, underwater. And they're finding these cities that there's no way ancient people could have built it. How do you move a 10-ton rock? How do you cut it out exactly? How do you make those rocks fit together so good that you can't put a credit card between them and carry them and quarry them and place them? And, oh, I can go on. Something's going on. There was a civilization. See, I'm getting ahead of myself for next week. Let me just leave you with this. Those ancients had knowledge from somewhere. And it wasn't aliens from outer space. But they were kind of alien from outer space. Ooh, we're going to talk about it. Come back next week. Huh? How many will be here? All half of you. Amen. Okay. Where did I leave off? Okay. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the heavens standing out of the water and in the water, important, and by the world that then existed, perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He's going to change this planet one more time and make it available for you. How many want to live in that city? 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high. Do you have any conception of how high that is? That's nosebleed section for sure. I mean, that's in the upper atmosphere. I don't know. God just goes, boom, build me a building. Ah! Trump can't even do that. Amen. I had to throw one of them. By the way, this week, I guess, is prayer week, right? We need to be praying for our leaders. I think someone told me today the president's going to be on at 6 o'clock tonight, and he's going to be quoting scripture, reading from the Bible. Oh, that's worth watching right there. You know you'll mess something up and someone will criticize him, but anyway. All right, that's going to be great. I don't know what channel. Y'all can figure it out. Amen. But we need to understand. Listen. Being a pastor, okay, 44 years. How many know? How many could imagine I've seen some change? How many of you have seen some change? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are older than me? A few. Not many. But look where the church has come from in the last 100 years. There was a time people went to church because it was pretty much the only church in town. Because you had to walk to church or ride a horse and buggy. So there might have been two churches because the Catholics and the Methodists didn't get along. But basically, there was only one church to choose from, and everybody went to it. It's kind of like Mayberry. Right? I mean, that it persisted right up in small towns, that persisted right up into the 50s. I mean, everybody in Mayberry went to church, and everybody went to the same church in Mayberry. Even the town drunk sang in the choir. I'm not saying their standards were high, but they all went to the same church. Church was community, and community was church. And the pastor would fit right into the community, and everybody understood the standards, and that's how we lived. But then things began to change. They invented the automobile. Now you were able to travel. Now you find out that the church in the other town is a better church, a better pastor, better-looking pastor. So now you jump in the car, and you can go to another church. Ah, you have choices. And I'm not saying that's bad, but understand things began to change. And then President Eisenhower came up with the interstate highways. My God, now you can get up in the morning, drive an hour, and be in a church in another state. People were more mobile. And then churches began to rise up in competition with each other. And then radio came along. And TV preachers, I call them celebrity preachers. And people began to come to church and compare their pastor to the celebrity pastor who preaches so much better than their pastor. And they kind of get the idea, maybe I'll just stay home and watch it on TV. Because, I mean, that guy's really good. And my pastor, not so good. So we begin to have all this competition and people flying off in different directions. There was back in the 70s, by the way, if y'all think this decade is bad, you should have been in the 70s. Vietnam riots, race riots, right? And then you had the women's movement. Amen. All these women run around and they're taking their... I don't know why they thought that would bother men. Well, it did bother men, but not in the way they thought. The guys are going, yeah, more women's lib for me. Amen. Bad pastor, I know. It's not working. But the women's movement, as badly as it was needed, because women were obviously through many thousands of years were treated badly and inequality and so on and so on. Even if they did work, they didn't make as much as a man doing the same job. I get all that. But it did affect things. Because back 100 years ago, everybody was at home most of the day. You'd wake up in the morning, you'd have breakfast together as a family. Even if you worked a farm, the kids, 6, 7 years old, they're out with their dads working in the fields. And even if they're not, all right, everyone still comes together for lunch, and they come together for dinner. And you see mom and dad when you get up, you see mom and dad when you go to bed. And we had this family, but then things began to move away from agriculture, and now dad had to leave the house to go work. But then with the women's movement, mom and dad are gone from the house. And the school system took advantage of that and thought, we got these kids. We can stop teaching them and start indoctrinating them. So now we have to fight all this indoctrination. Maybe it's not in your school system, but believe me, in many cities around the country, children are being indoctrinated. And I can go on and on with that. You know what they're being indoctrinated with. They're confusing them sexually. They're teaching them to rise up against their parents. They're doing things without parents' permission. I mean, that's the world that we're living in and that we compete with. But watch this. Throughout the decades, the church relied on you ladies doing volunteer work in the church. You were the labor force. I mean, remember that? But now y'all have jobs. So the guys couldn't help because they were working. Now the church has just gone through all this fragmented family. A whole different worldview. We're not living in Mayberry anymore. In fact, Mayberry's not Mayberry anymore. I read a statistic where they said that Mayberry, the actual Mayberry, the town that it was modeled after, is now the leading cause of drug use in North Carolina. They lead the state of North Carolina in drug abuse. Mayberry's not Mayberry anymore. So the world that we live in is rapid change. Back then, you could just preach Just preach, because everyone's on the same page. But now you've got these generations that think differently. And they say it's not three generations, it's five generations, because things change so rapidly. So when I prepare a message, I need to understand that I'm speaking to five different generations. And you've got to try to relate to everybody in those different generations. Y'all getting what I'm saying? The challenges of pastoring are becoming great. And I'm not sharing all this, you know, as a complaint. I love what I do, and I hope I'm reaching all five generations on Sunday. Just look at music. Music's an example. All the different generations. And through the years, we've gone through some of those battles. Okay? There's Southern Gospel. Then there's the old hymns. And then there's the new hymns. Then there's the choruses, the dreaded choruses we had to introduce. And they were so simple, and yeah, like, holy, holy, holy. Better get used to those short, simple choruses, because they're kind of abundant in heaven. Holy, 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 holy. And then there's all the contemporary music. And then you have to compete with the music they're hearing on the radio. And then if you do pick out a song that everybody knows, you better sing it as good as they have heard it. Or you get criticized not just for the type of music, but the way you sing it. Jason, come up here. We're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. Your job might be harder than mine. So we have all this competition, all this stuff that you have to deal with. One man said, one young man in his 20s said, he said, if someone gave me $300,000 to go start a church tomorrow, just start a church from scratch, he said, I'd spend three-fourths of it, I would spend on lighting, technology, and sound. Not the building. We're living in a time where the building doesn't matter anymore. We could be meeting in a barn, and people, young people today, are okay with that as long as the lighting and the sound and the technology are amazing. Old people here, we grew up in a sensory environment. We grew up listening. People could read to us and we're attentive. But now this generation growing up is not sensory, they're visual. They grew up not reading something but watching something called TV. And everything is illustrated and pops, and there's technology. And they learn, and then that's why they hate school. They go to school because some teacher's up there lecturing, and that's not connecting. And that's why, even while I'm preaching, we're throwing scriptures up on the screen. When you watch TV, you watch the news, some talking head, right? But behind the talking head is a screen that's going on. And underneath the talking head is a scroll, 12 to 15 words going across there. And then over in the corner is the stock market, so you can see how bad your stocks went today. It's a rough week, Charlie. Rough week. What's going on? The only way to keep people's attention is to multitask all that stuff. And then they come to church. And we expect them to just sit there and listen to me preach. That's why I dance once in a while, as bad as I dance, and I tell jokes, which are bad. I got to move around a little bit, throw things on the screen. We need to do more on the screens, guys. We need every once in a while, you know, blow some fireworks up or something. That's why, I know some of you hate it, but that's why churches now are basically black. The roof, the walls, everything's black, right? So that they can project light, different colors. They could project different things on different walls. You got smoke coming up. Just in case we ever needed it, this plate right here is actually connected to a smoke machine out there. We could blow smoke out of here. We can do it. We've done it once or twice during plays. But I think it would be cool while I'm preaching, when I, if I hit it just right, go. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know if we could put fire through it, but we could put smoke through it. And there'd be all these lights going on. There's just all kinds of stuff. And for us older people, we're like, shut it up. Just talk to me. But young people are like, yeah. Wow, man. Of course, I'm old, but I can get into psychedelics a little bit. I do have a little history with that. But when you've seen toilets breathe, you've seen it all. Amen. I won't explain that. Okay. So, are you beginning to feel what's going on? That it is much more challenging to put this together. And that's why, by the way, that's why you have mega churches, because back in those days, you couldn't have a mega church. Because every church is just a little church in a little town. But now people can travel. So what happens is you get away from preaching the word and you become more of an entertainer. That's what happens. When you have all the show, you got to have a showman, and preaching becomes a show. Music becomes a show. It becomes entertainment. Yeah, just admit it to people. They just got it in their head. They don't go to a church based on the word. They go to church based on how they feel. So we have to entertain people today with all the technology and so forth and preaching the way they want you to preach. But if we're here just to meet your needs, and we're not preaching the whole word, I believe the word will meet your needs. But I also believe the word has other purposes. It's there to challenge you and change you and confront you with your sin. I'm looking who's not clapping. I'm taking names. Should we try it again? No, that's all right. So we have to compete with entertainment churches, what I call platform churches. It's just all about the show. And at least they're drawing big crowds, and I guess they're hearing the word, and thank God for them. I'm not being super critical. But how many know that's not our vision here? Connect. Grow. Serve. That's our vision. Not everyone likes that. Not everyone wants to be a part of that. They don't like to be confronted or challenged. They just want to sit there and enjoy. All right, so much for the introduction. Lord, help us. One person said, let me get back to my notes. One person said it's all about stores, sports, and screens. That's pretty much our life, the three S's. One man said, it's not about what we own, but what owns us. Help us, Lord. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. I said all that to say this. We're getting away from Sabbath. We're getting away from the importance of congregating. We're getting away from the importance of setting a day aside. Not just for your rest, but because God said do it. And because that's how we're made to function. We're made to work six, rest one. Even if it's not Sunday, you need to find a way to rest one and work six. Is anyone getting what I'm saying here? Come on, come on. One man said it like this: the Sabbath isn't just about rest, it's about resistance. It's about saying to the world, you don't control me. You can't tell me how to live. Your standards are not my standards. What you consider important, I don't. And what you think I should be doing, thinking, or feeling is not what I think, and it's not what I do, and it's not what I feel. Hallelujah. You may think I'm wasting my time. You may be critical of me being in the house of God on Sunday when I could be out making money. Come on. But it's not about rest. It's about resistance. It's about saying to this culture, my God comes first. You know what it is? It's Moses going to Pharaoh saying, let my people go that they may worship me. If you're a seven-day workaholic, I got news for you. You're serving Pharaoh, not God. Oh, now you're going to get quiet. Pharaoh wants you to work without rest. A constant machine. It's all about the bricks. How many bricks can I make? And when Moses resisted, he said, I'll double the bricks. I'll make you work even harder. That's the way the enemy works. But we need to make a stand. We need to say to the devil, let me go, that I may worship God. Not let me go that I might lay on the couch for 24 hours. But let me go that I may worship. Wow. Come on, church. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He made it holy, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So real quick, how many will stay with me for a few more minutes? You still here? Just real quick, I only got 10 more points, so it won't be bad. Amen. No, it's not 10. 7. Okay. Oh my God, it is 7. But I'll be quick. Number one, why should I honor the Sabbath? Number one, it's not just good, it's holy. When God went through the 7 days of creation, after every day, he said, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. But when he got to this resting thing, he didn't say it is good. He said, it is holy. There's only a few things in Scripture that are really holy institutions, right? Marriage, gender, the Sabbath. These are things that are holy. Number two, huh? Number two, it's one of the Ten Commandments. I tell pastors, because pastors are the worst when it comes to taking time off. You know, they got to impress everyone how busy they are. Oh, I'm so busy. I quit saying that. I don't care if you think I'm busy or not. It's not my job to be busy. Come on. But we got to impress people. You're really not paying me enough because I'm busy. God. Where did I get this from? 44 years. Go back to that. We're not going to let them forget that, are we? It's the fourth commandment. I could, if I violated any of the other nine, you would probably fire me. But when I violate the fourth commandment, you'll give me a raise. Wow. I just dropped the mic. That's what. And by the way, it's positioned just right, because the first three are about a relationship with God. And then comes the Sabbath, and then the rest of them about our relationship with each other. And the fourth commandment's right in the middle of that, because it affects our relationship with both. How many think God knows what he's doing? My God, my God, my God. It's the only commandment, by the way, that says remember. The rest of them are thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Remember? Why? Because he knows we're going to forget. He said it's got to be something that has to penetrate our mind and get us to understand. And that's why the purpose of this message is to get you to understand. Please remember to lay it down once a week and obey the Lord. Wow. It's also the longest commandment. It's like two paragraphs. All the rest of it, thou shalt not kill. Next. And then the fourth commandment is this long thing where he talks about why we have to honor, why we have to remember the Sabbath. Number three. It demonstrates our allegiance. Are you loyal to God or are you loyal to Pharaoh? Which one are you loyal to? When you make a stand, when you tell people, I'm going to church, you're making a statement that God's first in your life. Don't hide it. Don't explain it away. Let them know God's first. Oh, my God. Number next. After four or five, you lose track. I don't know. Four. It proclaims that 6 days are enough and that God will provide. When you say, I have to work 7 days, you're saying, I don't trust God to take care of me and my home and my family. But when you take a whole day where you do nothing, you're saying, the world's saying, you got nothing coming in. It's a waste of time. And you're saying, no, I'm putting God first. And it's enough. Remember when the manna came down? And he said, on the sixth day, gather twice as much. And don't gather it on Sunday. Remember they tried to? How many remember that didn't work out too well? And it's not going to work out well for you if you try to go beyond the 6 days. You need to let it go one day. And believe God provided enough the other six to make up for the seventh. It's faith in God's provision. Come on, praise the Lord. Because I needed a drink of water. Okay. Number five, you need to understand something. It's not a day off. It's a day for. It's not just a day off. I tell pastors all the time, and I speak to their churches, because a lot of times I go into these churches, and their church has never heard the word Sabbath, sabbatical, never heard it. And I have to explain to them that your pastor needs a month off, and it's not just because he's so wore out, and he's so tired, and he's all beat up. And if you talk that way, the pastor's going, geez, lighten up. It's not that what he's coming from is so horrible. It's because he needs time for what's ahead. Let your pastor go, not just because he's tired, but because he needs time. It's so hard to hear from God with all the noise going on. All the voices, all the concerns, all the needs, all the pulling that people put on you. It's hard to hear from God. You need some time off every once in a while to get away from the pull and just listen for what's ahead, not just rest from what's behind. Think about this. Adam's first day was a day of rest. God gave him a job description. Then he said, go take a nap. Adam's first day was a day of rest. So he had nothing to be resting from. He hadn't done a thing. God just made him. Ta-da. How many know when he made him, he was full of energy, ready to go? He didn't even have a wife at that point to tell him what to do. What? God made Eve quick. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. Ain't that the truth? Come on, ladies. It is not good for your husband to be alone. So, God made him, gave him a job description, gave him a wife. Then he said, do nothing for 24 hours. And then go to work. So, if that's the model, how many believe that Sunday's not the end of the week, it's the beginning of the week? Come on. Your week starts today. Number six. You will live longer. You will live healthier. You'll even sleep better if you take that day off every week. They've done studies on this. I can go to science on this. And one study I remember was among Seventh-day Adventists. How many know they're fanatics? I mean, their whole thing is Saturday. We're wrong because we worship on Sunday, and they worship on Saturday. But they will not do anything on that day. They are fanatics about it, right? So they studied them in community, and they asked the question: how many of you look at your life and say, "I'm happy"? The percentage was 88%. The general population in America, barely 40% say they're happy. But these Seventh-day Adventists who honor God, that's the only difference, right? They honor God once a week, 88%. I wonder about the 12. I don't know what their problem is. They probably don't like their pastor. But anyway, 88% say they're happy. And there's been statistics and studies and studies and studies that say, and by the way, they live longer, and they have fewer health issues. And it's how you're made. And when you push yourself 7 days instead of six, you're violating the way God made you, and that's going to catch up sooner or later. Take that day off. Don't do yard work. Tell your wife the dishes will wait. Good luck with that. Ladies, you too. You don't need to be cleaning the house on Sunday. It means just put God first for one day and do nothing. Yeah, but I hear the yeah buts in my spirit. Let me yeah about you back. You'll pay for it. Because you weren't made that way. Oh, Jesus. One more point. Lord, I did that in 8 minutes. There is a God. I want you to understand one more point. The New Testament idea of Sabbath is about resurrection, not just renewal. The Jews worshiped on Saturday, right? And the Sabbath is Saturday in the Bible. But you get to the Christian era, and they stopped worshiping on Saturday, not right away, but eventually. And they started worshiping on Sunday. Really, the way it happened is, historically, they would go to the synagogue and worship, because almost all Christians were, most Christians were Jews back then, converted. So they would go to the synagogue and worship, but then they said, you know what, we need to get together ourselves. So on Sunday, they started, so they would go to church twice a week. And eventually, they dropped the Saturday off, and they just, but why did they pick Sunday? It's the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. He died on Friday, rose on Sunday. So Sunday became the Christian Sabbath day. And it's not just about rest. It's not just about renewal. It is about resurrection. Can you give God praise in the house? Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo!